The call to post means it's time for Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Off to the Races is powered by the Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Find them at www.theracingbiz.com. Now here's your host with Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. And hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us this Saturday morning, Saturday the 23rd of February. My name's Frank Vespi, and we're going to be talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, across the Mid-Atlantic, and around the country. We're going to be doing that for the next 60 minutes here on Off to the Races, and the next several months here in this time slot. And then we'll be shifting time slots and going even farther. So a lot of thoroughbred racing and breeding we're going to be talking over the next several months here on Off to the Races. Today's show is presented by the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, the Virginia Equine Alliance, helping to make Virginia racing history. And those good folks, you're not going to want to miss this. Those good folks are hosting a series of Road to the Derby handicapping contests starting today, February 23rd, running for the next 6 weeks. Those are going to be taking place at Ponies and Pints in Richmond and Buckets Bar and Grill in Chesapeake. They're going to be offering $8,000 in prizes for these contests. You're definitely going to want to check those out if you can. You can learn more about the Road to the Derby contest at Ponies and Pints and Buckets at VirginiaHorseRacing.com. That's VirginiaHorseRacing.com. And speaking of handicapping contests, we're going to be offering a free one this afternoon on TheRacingBiz.com. That features today's racing from Laurel Park. Come in, get in on the action. www.theracingbiz.com. Should be a lot of fun. Folks always enjoy our monthly free handicapping contest. We've got a lot to do today. We've got some really fun guests lined up for a little bit later on. But before we get to that, let's take a quick look back at the week that was. A lot of the racing world's attention this past weekend went to Laurel Park, which featured the Grade 3 General George. That was won by Uncontested impressively. Also, the Miracle Wood Stakes. That's the start of the three-year-old route to the Preakness through Maryland. Always Mining wins the Miracle Wood. That's a name you might want to just keep in mind. That horse has gotten really good all of a sudden and was the easiest kind of winner in the Miracle Wood. Also, the Grade 3 Barbara Fritchie was on tap, and that continued one of the best stories in racing right now when Late Night Powwow held on for her ninth consecutive victory.
Powwow with a surge on the inside to take the lead. Out in the middle now, Spice Perfection's come off the rail. Spice Perfection on the outside. Late Night Powwow, she's reaching. She's digging in the final furlong. Spice Perfection on the outside. Late Night Powwow and Spice Perfection. Late Night Powwow, Spice Perfection. Head to head and nose to nose. Fighting finish in the Fritchie. Late Night Powwow. Wow! In the photo with Spice Perfection.
Late Night Powwow ridden astutely in the Fritchie by Charlestown-based pilot Freddie Paltroche. Paltroche got her through along the rail inside of the tiring. Ms. Locust Point had just enough to hold off Spice Perfection. Nice Charlestown-based story with Late Night Powwow. She was bred in West Virginia by John McKee, a longtime breeder and trainer out there. She's trained at Charlestown by Javier Contreras for Breeze Easy LLC. She's the daughter of Fiber Sunday. She's now won 11 of 12 career starts, posted earnings of over $619,000. And for this filly, who just a couple of months ago was toiling in West Virginia bred company, her next start going to be the Grade 1 Madison at Keeneland in April. So the sky continues to be the limit for the rapidly improving Late Night Powwow. Meanwhile, down at the fairgrounds in New Orleans, there was another step on the Derby trail when War of Will took the Grade 2 Risen Star to surge to the top of the Road to the Derby points list. He's got 60 points. War of Will takes the Risen Star.
That's Warneville, who leads them into the fairground stretch. Three quarters in 1 minute 12.20 seconds. It's Warneville coming down to the final furlong, staying on his country house. Dump had a take up off of heels, charging on the outside, Hog Creek Hustle. They come inside the final 16th. It's Warneville, chased home by Country House, past the 16th. It's Warneville from Country House, then Royland, Warneville, Wells, well of them again, won the Risen Star from Country House.
Interesting story with Warneville. He began his career with four consecutive defeats on the turf. They switched him over to the main track. He's now won three straight on the main track. He won a maiden race. Then he won the LeCompte at the fairgrounds. And now the Risen Star. He has now won three straight, three of seven overall, on the way to most likely his next start will be the Louisiana Derby, the Grade Two event. With 60 points on the Derby trail, he already most likely has enough to be in the starting gate the first Saturday in May. He's a son of Warfront, who was trained by Mark Cassie for Gary Barber. He was about a $300,000 auction purchase as a two-year-old in training. So Warneville stamps himself as a main Derby contender with a nice win in the Risen Star. We're going to be talking plenty more about the Derby trail a little bit later in the show when we have the eponymous Derby Bill Watson going to join us, as well as Nick Hahn, our longtime stalwarts. We're going to be talking Derby top 10 lists with those two analysts. But before we get to that, we got a couple of great interviews lined up a little bit later. Mike Campbell from the New Jersey Thoroughbred Breeders Association. But up next, a man who has won major races, bred major horses, now winning late in life major awards. Maryland stalwart Bill Boniface going to join us. He also has some great stories. You're not going to want to miss this. You're listening to Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Get the latest from 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN. When you sign up for the ESPN Richmond newsletter, you'll be delivered the most up-to-date stories on our website, including sound from our audio vault, plus articles from our on-air personalities. Register now at ESPNRichmond.com.
Do you know where your mattress came from? If your mattress is from the original mattress factory, you can rest easy, knowing that your mattress was hand-built right here in Richmond. And every original Mattress Factory mattress features American-made materials, from our supportive inner springs to cotton padding to our shock-absorbing box springs. You can even stop by our factory to take a tour and see our team make your mattress. Can the other guys say that? That is the Original Mattress Factory difference. Visit us at originalmattress.com.
Luck Chevrolet has been the Chevy truck expert since 1916, and they've got something for everyone. There's economical SUVs like Trax and Equinox, people haulers like Traverse, Tahoe, and Suburban, and pickups like the midsize Colorado to the one-ton Silverado. Let Luck find the right fit for your job or lifestyle. Call them at 804-798-9261. Shop online at luckchevrolet.com or stop by their convenient lot on U.S. Route 1 in Ashland and buy your next truck from Luck. Luck Chevrolet since 1916.
Don't be left out in the cold when the next winter storm hits. Make sure your heating units are working properly with a preventative maintenance inspection from the certified staff at Herman Allen Plumbing and Heating. With over 50 years experience serving the greater Richmond community, we're available 24 hours a day to help with your next emergency. 60 months financing is available with rebates up to $1,200 on select equipment. Make sure your home is safe and warm. Give us a call at 746-5853 or online at HermanAllenPlumbingInc.com. Herman Allen is an authorized Lennox dealer.
Get your weekend started with us at World of Beer every Friday beginning at 4 when Greg Burton broadcasts live on 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
All right, a little superstition there from Matt Joseph's behind the glass. Welcome back, everybody. Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from kind of all over the place. And our first guest on the day, a man who has, as I said, won big races, bred big horses, now receiving lots of awards towards the end of his career. Bill Boniface joins me from Bonita Farm in Maryland. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Frank. Good to hear you.
Well, it's we appreciate you making a little time. I know you're busy these days with foaling season now underway in Maryland, but wanted to sort of start you just the other day, you received the Humphrey S. Finney Award from the Maryland Racing Media Association for lifetime achievement in racing. A couple of years ago, deputed testimony, a horse you bred and trained, entered the Maryland Thoroughbred Hall of Fame. I know you recently went into a Harford County Hall of Fame. What's it feeling like for you these days with all these kind of recognitions and kind of lifetime achievement awards piling up?
Feels undeserved. I'm honored, and particularly with the award that we got at Laurel the other day, because that was a very respected man. He was a he was the beginning editor of the Maryland Horse Magazine, and my father actually worked under him, and then he went for 40 years with the Baltimore Sun. And but he was a man that was really revered, and I remember him judging the Yearling Show at Timonium. He started Paddy Tipton. It's a great honor to have an award in his name.
Well, certainly we, even if you feel undeserved, I think everybody around Maryland Racing thinks of it as something that's very deserved. And one of the reasons I think it's so deserved, obviously, is that you were part of the, with Jim McKay, you were one of the guys who kind of created the Maryland Million and won an early race with Sean's Ferrari, which was Jim McKay's horse named for his son. Talk about the emotions of getting that kind of victory with Jim McKay in those early days of the Maryland Million.
Well, we could not have done it without Jim. He came to the track one morning. I was training for him, and he said, "I saw the Breeders' Cup. Why can't we do it in Maryland?" So I went on the hustle, and I started getting stallions to put up a stud fee, and I got a commitment from enough that we could move forward. But in the beginning, we had to have sponsors. You know, a sponsor would put up the purse, and the seed money wasn't coming in enough. And we were fully sponsored the first 4 or 5 years, thanks mainly to Jim. He would go and take off with somebody or give a talk at a conference or something, and it really helped us get going. In the second year, when I won 3 races, fortunately enough, we had brought Ken Kai in from California. He was worth the extra expense because we only won that race by a nose. And, you know, Sean had asked Jim about buying a Ferrari, and I told him, "The hell with the Ferrari. We're going to get this mare in fold, and we'll win a Maryland Million race." Well, that was a lot of things to say, but it happened. And when we got down to the winner's circle, they stuck the microphone in front of Jim, and he never is rattled, but he was speechless. He really, 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 really enjoyed winning that race. It meant an awful lot to him.
This is a guy who, as you said, was never, ever speechless, including literally the Munich Olympics with the terrorist attack. And even then he wasn't speechless, but Maryland Million rendered him speechless. You are, in fact, I believe the only trainer to win 3 races on a Maryland Million card. Is that not right?
That's correct. And we went to Jim's house that night, and he called the Daily Racing Form, and they said it was the first time a trainer had won 3 races worth $100,000 or more on the same day, because they didn't have that many big days in that time, you know? So, but he had researched it. He was always putting a plug in for me. When we won the Preakness, it was raining, and I ran over to him, and I said, "Jim, we got the money, and we'll celebrate tonight." He said, "Billy, I'm getting ready to talk to several million people in a minute. Let me take care of my job now." But he always was meticulous, you know. He never mispronounced a name, and he did his research, and he was a great speaker.
Now that you mentioned the Preakness, that was 1983, deputed testimony. That's the most recent Maryland bred to win the Preakness. And that year you had another horse who ran in the Derby, who was kind of more fancied by the bettors and the jockeys really going into the Preakness. That was Parfait Mont. Did you realize that deputed was sitting on that kind of effort to win the 83 Preakness?
He had more desire than the other horse. The other horse had more pedigree, but I'd worked them together enough times that I thought he would be the better horse in that day. I gave the choice to Herb McCauley, and if he wanted to ride each horse, he should be misquoted saying that I took him off the horse because I gave him the choice. But I knew he was going to pick the chestnut horse because he got beat a nose in the wood up there in New York, and Padera had gotten through on the fence of him. He knew he should have won that day, and then he couldn't stand up in the mud. He had terrible feet, and the day we ran him in the Derby, it was just a sea of mud. So he had to throw that one out. He was a nice horse himself. He set a track record at Atlantic City in the Jersey Derby, finishing second. He just he could not beat the Pewter Testimony. I mean, it's like you go into a fight with a guy, and the guy whips you the first time. The next time you go, you don't feel as confident. And that was the story with them.
We're talking with Maryland legend Bill Boniface from Bonita Farm here on Off to the Races. And Bill, so you ended up putting a young local kid, Donnie Miller, on that horse who, having talked with Donnie about the Pewter Testimony a little bit in the Preakness, one of the things he said to me is that a lot of these out-of-town riders came in and they figured, oh, it's raining and it's wet, so I must want to be out in the middle of the track. And he said to me that the rail was like gold when it got wet there. So he just hugged the rail all the way around and won off pretty easily. So what was that feeling like as you watched this race unfold?
Well, I knew he was going to be a winner when he got through on the fence. You know, he was still getting momentum and I felt very confident through the lane. And it was, Donnie had ridden him before. It's a funny story. He rode him in the Maryland Juvenile Championship. It was a race restricted to Maryland Reds. It was a tremendous race. The horse that won by a nose was Dixieland Band, and Defeated was second, and Caveat was third, who later won the Belmont. And of course, Defeated later won the Preakness. But it used to be the only day of the year when they used the second wire at Laurel. They do it all the time now. So I told the pony girl, I said, when you get over to the gate, you whisper in Donnie's ear, don't forget going to the second wire. Well, I didn't realize it, but Donnie has a hearing aid. It's in his right ear, not his left ear. And he had those two beats at the first wire, started to stand up, got back down, and got beat a nose. But I always blame myself for telling her to whisper. I guess I was trying to get a little edge on him, one of the other riders forgetting about it, but it backfired on me.
Racing's a funny game that way. Now, a dozen years after Deputed, you come back with Oliver's Twist and you almost win the Preakness again. Did you, you had told me you were expecting a really big effort from Oliver's Twist. That was in the 95 Preakness.
Yeah, I talked to Alberto Delgado, wrote him, another local rider, and I preached to him like a Dutch uncle the night before the race about how if he rode his best race of his life, the horse was going to run his best race if he'd win the Preakness again. And I think he stayed in trying to save a little ground longer than he wanted to, than he normally would have if just was another race and I hadn't preached to him so hard. So he got trapped then, and when he swung out, it was later than what he could have eased out, and he made a big run. He made the lead. He got in front of the Derby winner, but he had to make had to go to a second breaking point more than what would have been desirable. And I don't know, Wayne Lucas walked by my stall after the race, and he said, Bill, you ran the best horse. I said, well, thank you, Wayne, but you got the money. But it was... I think it was just over instructing on my part. I blame myself for that one.
I'm guessing Wayne Lucas didn't offer you any of the money for having the best horse, huh?
It's a funny thing, I told a reporter from the Blood Horse. He was talking about the horse, and the horse was a big price. And I said, this horse will win the Preakness tomorrow. But if he doesn't win, the horse that beats him will not eat supper. Well, he wrote an article later on. He said, I don't know if Boniface was right about that horse eating up, but he never got to the starting gate again after that race.
Is that right?
That's right.
Wow. That was that Timber Country who won that race?
That was Timber Country, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Never raced that.
You guys, you at Bonita Farm, you know, you've been in the game for a long time. You were there kind of through the high times in Maryland, the, you know, 80s and 90s, and you stuck it out through really the dark times where for 5 or 6 years it seemed entirely likely that Maryland racing was going to collapse. Now the game's coming back. Now you guys have three stallions back in operation at Bonita Farm. Talk a little bit about sort of the ups and downs and how you guys have managed to stick with it through all of these ups and downs.
Well, it all started when Pennsylvania got the slots and we didn't have them, and that's what killed the game was the slot machine. But it was. But now that we have them here. And we have a 30% owner and a 30% breeder bonus. We're back competitive. Maryland's been in the game a lot longer. I was there when they ran the first race in Pennsylvania at Liberty Bell Racetrack. And, you know, we started running races in 1741. So we've got
a little
more
head
history,
start.
Got a little head start on Pennsylvania. And there's a lot of competition between each state for trying to get more mares. And we keep revising the amount of monies that can be paid in bonuses, and then they keep counteracting, and they've got a thing now where their stallion gets 20% more of Pennsylvania's stallion. Very, you know, every state's trying to compete with another for horses, but we're now everything looks like it's on the upswing, and they built the new turf course down there at Laurel, and Astronic Group is committed to Maryland, and I think the future is very bright. I mean, these three new stallions that we've got, they were serious. Well, the two that raced were serious racehorses, and the enticement for them to come from California to Maryland was the future looking bright.
And has the market been, Dortmund and Dortmund, who's gigantic, and Kobe's back. Are they, how has the market greeted their arrival in Maryland?
Yeah, there was 8 new stallions last year in the state, so the competition for mares was really fierce. But we got a good conception rate, and there's been people coming by and looking at the stallions now. We've got 5 foals on the ground already. And there's a lot of optimism out there. There's a little negativism about Pimlico, what's going to happen there eventually. But it's all good. You got to remember that there's only 2 networks that show racing live, and one of them is the Stronach Group's RTN. And there's a lot of audience that are watching races now on their telephones or their computers or in the televisions, and we're not seeing the attendance like we used to in the old days, but still the handle's up, and that's the engine that runs everything.
Yeah, it certainly is, Bill Boniface. So I guess as you look over things, you know, a reporter asked me the other day, you know, sort of why'd you give the award to Bill Boniface? And I said, you can't tell the story of Maryland racing over the last 40 or 50 years without talking about Bill Boniface. As you look back on your career, is there one thing that you would point to and say, like, this was the best thing or the most important thing or the most fun thing?
Well, there was a race at Pimlico years ago. And it was a race called we're running in the Jennings Stakes, and the people that owned Pimlico at the time was Ben Cohen, and he had a horse called Mr. Diz, and I had a horse called Berkeley Prince, who I'd taken out to Ohio. He won the Ohio Derby and the Michigan Derby for me. He outran his pedigree a lot, but he was a really tough horse to gallop. He would pull so hard that he would get cuts on both sides of his mouth terrible. And for my father had made a big bet with Ben Cohen that our horse would win, beat his horse, Mr. Diz, who was named for a Damon Runyon-type character that hung around the racetrack. And so I said, I'm going to get this horse's mouth good. So I ponied him with a chain over his nose for a week, salt water in his mouth 10 times a day. And then I had to work him. So I asked Red Hal, I got up to the outrider there. It was a really good outrider. And I said, I'm going to work this horse, Berkeley Prince, tomorrow, first day after the break. I don't know if I'll be able to pull him up. And can you be looking for me at the 7-8 pole? So I went on there at the end of the stretch. I took a rein and put on either side of his halter. Had no business mouth. Got over to the 3/4 pole. I worked him a beautiful 3/4. And then I stood up on him. He came out off the fence a little bit. And there was Red waiting for me. And he grabbed that horse. He said, you son of a bitch. You knew you couldn't pull him up. You got no bit in his mouth. But then I went ahead and ponied him with a chain over his nose for another week. And his mouth was like velvet the day they ran the Jennings. And he and Mr. Diz hooked up the 3/4 pole down the backside. They stayed hid and hid every stride to that. And I got the nod right at the wire. Ben Cohen sent a bottle of case of champagne to the press box where in those days was full of reporters. And it was one moment that I really thought I did a good training job.
A man who won the Preakness, was second in the Preakness, but looks back fondly on the Jennings handicap when Berkeley Prince beat Mr. Diz. Bill Boniface, thank you so much for joining us here this morning on Off to the Races.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck going forward. This is Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We are up against a break. Coming up after the break, Mike Campbell from the New Jersey Thoroughbred Breeders Association. Still down the road a piece, we got Derby Bill and Nick Hahn. Don't go anywhere.
99.5 and 102.7 ESPN is now Richmond's number one source for sports talk and play-by-play. Morning, afternoon, and night. Thanks for making us the most listened to sports station in RVA and the Tri-Cities.
Attention, if you have bad credit, you're probably routinely turned down for loans or financing. Safe Credit's team of FICO-certified professionals could help no matter how bad it's gotten. We'll examine your credit report and help you get it back to where you want it, allowing you to qualify for that new car, house, or credit card. We'll create an affordable month-to-month plan for you to repair your credit effectively. Some clients have seen results in as few as 30 to 45 days. Call 855-781-6910. 855-781-6910. 855-781-6910.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher mortgage payments. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates so you can buy a home with certainty. It's called Rate Shield, and here's how it works. With Rate Shield, you can lock your interest rate while you shop for a new home. So if rates go up, you don't have to worry. And here's the best part. If rates go down, you get the lower rate. With Rate Shield, we really have you covered. Here are more reasons why you'll want to work with America's largest mortgage lender. For 9 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 5th year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Rate Shield, another way we can save you money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records, Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
And now, the worst commercial ever.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Jack.
We're the Plow Guys.
How do we keep your driveways clean?
With commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive.
They help with a customized insurance plan that keeps our
business on the road.
And that's news worth
shouting out loud simultaneously.
Enthusiastic yelling at the same time.
Yeah!
Terrible. Whereas commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive is anything but. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to quote today. Insurance provided in service by Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. It's affiliated in third-party insurers.
You have to be up in 5 hours. 2 hours. 6 minutes. And you haven't slept a wink. ZzzQuil Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin so you can fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. So tonight, try new ZzzQuil Pure Z's from the sleep experts at Vicks ZzzQuil.
We're talking college hoops every Friday afternoon during the College Basketball Show, presented by Lexus of Richmond, live from World of Beer on 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. Off to the races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, the Mid-Atlantic, and all around the country. Up in a little bit, we're going to have Derby Bill and Nick Hahn, as we always do in our closing segment. But right now, I want to welcome in Michael Campbell. He is the executive director of the Thoroughbred Breeders Association of New Jersey. Michael, welcome aboard.
Good, Frank. How are you doing today?
Doing well. We appreciate you making a little bit of time on your Saturday morning to join us here. And, you know, as a guy who lives in Maryland, I got used to for several years, Maryland was sort of the sick man of Mid-Atlantic racing and kind of just seemed to be dragging and dying. And then it picked up. And then kind of New Jersey took that role for a number of years. But now it looks like New Jersey's on the upswing as well. So it's fun to see that possibility of New Jersey getting back to where it used to be. And let's start, though, with you guys just named your New Jersey bred horse of the year. That's the hard-hitting Sunny Ridge, owned by Dennis Drazen, and Golden Brown was your top turf horse. And I guess one of the things I find striking when we think about New Jersey racing is the foal crops are not large, but there still remains a pretty good amount of quality in them.
No, there is. I mean, the last couple of years, you talked about Maryland, when they were had hard times, and now they're back up, and Pennsylvania had hard times. Money changes everything. So, all those states have increased revenue from casinos, and as you said, we're getting some additional money in for our program from the legislature for each of the next 5 years. But even though the full crop is small, there are a lot of good horses around, not only this year, but you go back to last year when Irish War Cry was running, and 2 years ago when he ran in the Derby and won the Wood Memorial, Green Grotto, with a nice horse owned over $1 million. So there's a lot of nice Jersey breds around, and we're happy to see that Dennis's Sunny Ridge won. He's done a lot for the industry and was very instrumental in getting sports betting passed, not only in New Jersey, but kind of, helping other states get it done as well. So overturning that pass bet decision. So it's nice to see Dennis get some recognition with his horse.
Yeah, this is a nice horse. Sunny Ridge has earned over $1 million. He was third last year in the Grade 3 Salvatore Mile at Monmouth Park, and I actually looked up his page on Equibase, and it looks like he's back in training for another season. Have you talked with Dennis or his trainer Jason Service about what the future holds for this guy?
They ran second in a race a few weeks ago. To a horse that John Kimmel had, I think it was. He ran a good race. Track was a little speed favoring, but he always runs his race. He's always consistent. He worked the other day, and Dennis, I talked to Dennis yesterday, actually, so he's probably going to run another 2 or 3 weeks. Jason likes to space his races out a little bit. He's been successful over the Aqueduct racetrack, so I'm sure they'll shoot for something up there, and then, hopefully come down to Monmouth or keep him in New York. It was only, I think, about $60,000 shy of becoming the second leading New Jersey bred in history, so, hopefully he stays in training, stays sound, and he can get up there and get in second.
Who is the leading New Jersey bred in history?
The leading New Jersey bred is Open Mind. She earned over, I think, probably $1.6 million or $1.8 million. So she's still got a ways to go to get to her. She was an Eclipse champion, won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, I think, as a 2-year-old at Churchill Downs for Wayne Lucas. So she was certainly somebody that's a really nice horse, and it'll take a lot for somebody to get to where she was. But there's a lot of nice horses around for Jersey bred right now.
Yeah. Well, and one of those is Golden Brown. He was the 3-year-old male and champion turf horse. And he's a horse I was kind of partial to because I touted him at 15-1 when he won the Grade 3 Kent at Delaware Park. But he had sort of a little bit of an up and down season. But certainly when he ran on the turf, he ran a whole bunch of good races for Pat McBurney.
Yeah, he did, and Pat, it's nice to see Pat get recognition as well. Pat trained 3 New Jersey bred champions, not only Golden Brown, but Muji Moo Jr., who was the champion 2-year-old, and then Liz Escable Girl, who was a champion 3-year-old in 2017 and came back to be the champion older female. But Golden Brown, if you look at his race record throughout the year, he really broke his maiden in February at Park, so he came a long way in a short amount of time. He ran, first time he ran him on the turf and first time he ran him long was in a New Jersey bred stake at Monmouth, and finished second to Irish Strait, who's one of multiple, greatest stake horse and a half brother Irish War Cry. So you know, they knew they had something there. Pat was kind of waiting to stretch him out, did so there, and then they went to the Kent race, you know, and he really ran a nice race there. You know, he ran a couple of good races after that, ran in the Haskell. They tried him on the dirt in his home track, you know, had a little bit of a wide trip there, but he's consistent. Pat's looking forward to him. I talked to him the other day. He's looking forward to bringing him back again this year.
Well, that should be fun to watch. He's obviously he's an awfully wild colt, a little bit of talent there. Should be fun to see what he could develop into going forward. Now, Michael, let's sort of turn our attention a little bit. You mentioned briefly a moment ago the purse subsidies that are going to be happening. Tell us a little bit about kind of what the structure is of that subsidy that Thoroughbred Racing is going to be getting.
So the legislature provided the New Jersey equine industry a $20 million subsidy for each of the next 5 years, beginning in this year, $10 million to thoroughbreds and the other $10 million to the standardbred industry. And what Monmouth is doing for, you know, with their money, their additional money, they've raised the purses on a lot of races. The New Jersey bred races, the maiden special weight went from $45,000 last year. It's now going to be $56,250. The two other vendors are going to be, I think, $58,500, somewhere around there. They've added additional stakes races. There's now 11 stakes races for Jersey bred. Ten of them are worth $75,000, and one of them is worth $100,000. They've provided a bonus for New Jersey bred horses that are running an open company. They finished first, second, or third, and that's a 40% bonus. So they're doing a lot of different things with the money. It's certainly going to help our program out. You know, once I think people, it was in the works last year, and we've had a few people come in to full here this year that we've lost people who have farms in New Jersey. They may have gone to other states. They're now back here this year. So we think we're going to see probably between 30 and 40 additional foals this year. You know, as we're talking right now, I just got a text message from somebody who's looking to claim Jersey bred horses, and they're wondering where they can find them. So I got to get back to them. So it's those kind of things that, you know, that people are really optimistic about. They want to get involved in the program again. We've had people inquire about, you know, purchasing farms, which we haven't had in a long time. So, you know, things are really looking up right now, and it's nice to see it, because New Jersey's been a little bit of a downturn the last few years. But now that people know that there's going to be this five-year supplement, people are getting back involved, and it's good.
Yeah, it's certainly good to see. And I think, I imagine you would say this, it's not just the dollars, but it's the five-years-ness of it that I think is really important for the breeding industry.
Absolutely. I mean, I think people who are outside of the industry, and even people who kind of own horses and aren't involved in breeding, they don't understand that it is probably a 3 or 4 or 5 year plan. Once you breed the mare, I mean, mares that are bred or born this year, they're bred last year, they're not going to hit the track until 2021, maybe 2022 is 3-year-olds. So it's a long-term plan. There's a lot of investment that goes into it. And if people know that that money is going to be there for the next 5 years, you know, it really encourages them to come here. So, you know, it's that money. And then there's also money from the sports wagering that's happening. Mom has been very, very successful with that. So, you know, that's additional money that can be had for our program and for the purse structure at Monmouth Park in the future.
Talking with Michael Campbell, Executive Director of the New Jersey Thoroughbred Breeders Association. And Michael, so are the stakes races for Jersey breds, are they going to be spread out throughout the meet? I know you guys typically have a meet and kind of towards the end of the meet, a Jersey bred day, but how's that all going to fit together this year?
Yeah, they're spreading them out, and Monmouth is going to run this year. The regular Monmouth meet ends in the end of September, and then they're going to do 4 additional days. I think it's 4 days, or maybe 8 days, on Saturdays and Sundays at Monmouth in October. Run at the Meadowlands on Fridays up there, because you can't run up there on the weekends because of football games. They're going to run at Monmouth this year and take advantage of people watching the sports betting. So, but the New Jersey Bred Festival will be August 26th. It's on a Sunday this year. There'll be 3 stakes races that day, and, you know, a full card of Jersey Bred horses running. So everybody's looking forward to it. There's a couple new stakes. They've added another turf race for boys. They've added a turf sprint for boys, and they've added a long race for the girls. So people are excited about that. There's a lot of options for people this year.
Yeah, I mean, it really is cool to see you know, New Jersey's starting to get back to it. I mean, Monmouth Park is one of the great, really one of the great racetracks in the country, and it's, I think, important to racing that racing continue at Monmouth Park. But New Jersey has such a rich and interesting thoroughbred history. It's really nice to see it starting to find its way back.
Yeah, it is. And I think one of the other things that our membership, you know, is aware of, and we're trying to get the word out for it, is we also have a program with our out-of-state awards, because there's only 61 days of racing here. We also have, distribute money to breeders who earn win races first, second, and third outside of the state when there's no live racing at Monmouth. So it's really a 10-month-a-year program. Even though there's only 61 days of racing, we can distribute money for 10 months out of the year. So last year, we're going to start distributing the money for 2018 in another month or so once we get it all in, and that's going to be about $450,000, which really helps the breeders and helps the farm owners.
Yeah, is that for horses that play win or place anywhere in the country, or is it restricted?
No, first, second, or third anywhere in the country, but just not during the live racing meet at Monmouth Park.
Right. That's got to be. Any other state have that exact program? That's pretty.
You know what? I don't know if they have that exact program. There's some states that offer graded stakes winners, things like that. But because of the shortened season, we felt it was important to offer that kind of program and encourage people to come here and let people, the breeders, know. Listen, you don't just have to run from May through September. It's such a short meet. Horses are very. They're prone to injury. If you get hurt in the beginning of the meet, you may not make it back till the end. So we want them to know that there is an opportunity around, and it's a program that really helped us out.
Now, you mentioned a little bit earlier that you're expecting maybe 30 to 40 foals more than you had a year ago. Is anybody thinking of bringing a new stallion into New Jersey?
There's one new stallion right now. His name is Sea Wizard. He was brought in earlier last year. He's a son of Uncle Mo. We ran twice. He was trained by John Mazza, and John really loved him. He broke his maiden in Florida, lost to a horse named Destin his first time out in New York. But John was really high on him, and he got hurt. He's got, according to the farm that I talked to yesterday, he's got about 20 mares booked already to him. But we think there'll be a bigger increase in the fall crop next year. Once the supplement was announced, it was after the mayor return deadline, which is November 1st for us and for most states. So we think it'll be a bigger increase next year once people, are understanding of it and they can make plans and we can get some more advertising out. But it was just a little too late this year because it happened only, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Right, of course. Now, last question, we'll have to cut you loose, but are you guys seeing from your end of things, do you feel like you're going to see good benefits out of the advent of sports betting in New Jersey?
Yeah, I think it's, the biggest benefit is probably, is going to be for the purse structure. Anytime you can increase your purse structure and be competitive with other states, which is what Monmouth, needs to do. They need to be competitive with what Parks is doing and what Maryland is doing to try to, attract people to come here. That's going to help. And the higher the purse money is, the more money the owners earn, and then that increases our breeders' award. So it's all kind of a trickle-down effect. But, yeah, we think that's really going to help us.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. Michael Campbell, thank you so much for joining us this Saturday morning.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
All right, that was Michael Campbell, Thoroughbred Breeders Association of New Jersey, bringing some good news from the Garden State as that state looks to get back on its firmer footing here in the racing industry. We are up against our final break here on Off to the Races. When we come back, the man, the myth, the legend, Derby Bill Watson and Nick Hahn going to join us here on Off to the Races. We're coming right back.
Join Greg Burton this Friday at World of Beer, 11600 West Broad Street near the Short Pump Theater, for the live broadcast of Hardly Workin' and the College Basketball Show, presented by Lexus of Richmond. It starts at 4 on 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
Hungry but undecided on what or where? Go to Big Mouth Buffet and then decide. At Big Mouth Buffet, it's all you can eat every day. One low price. Want Japanese? Customers rave about their custom hibachi orders. Seafood sounds good? Check out their daily fresh seafood bar and sushi bar and Chinese food. And so much more. 9 delicious food stations to satisfy your hunger. Then end your meal with hand-dipped ice cream or berries smothered in melted chocolate. all-you-can-eat, one low price, and take out by the pound at Big Mouth Buffet, 4338 South Laburnum Avenue, Big Mouth Buffet.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When you're always on the go, what would you prefer? An office phone system?
Hey, it's Rochelle. Sorry I missed you earlier. Had an errand to run, but I'm back in the office, so give me a call when you get this.
Or one that works on your cell phone. No hardware needed, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Oh, one sec. It's a business call. Hi, this is Rochelle with WayForward Partners. How can I help?
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
Tweens have mastered the art of tuning out. Jen, there's a spider in the car. We're turning your room into a home gym. See? Nothing. But some messages need to get through, like making sure they're buckled up the whole ride, every time. Do whatever it takes to make your child listen. Jen, I friended your boyfriend.
Wait, what?
Buckle up, sweetie.
Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-581-7788. 1-855-581-7788. That's 1-855-581-7788.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Hey, this is Tugach. Join me weekdays 10 to 1 on the Dan Le Batard Show, now on 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
Welcome back, everybody. Life is a highway, says Matt Joseph. You're listening to Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. Final segment on tap. Got the gruesome twosome here, the dynamic duo, Derby Bill Watson, Nick Hahn. Derby Bill, welcome.
The problem of non-use.
Or that. Nick, how's it going?
I'm trying to come up with something as original as Derby Bill, but I'm coming up empty. I always do in the big moment.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, when you're playing in the big leagues like that, it is tough to keep up sometimes. But Derby Bill always has it. All right, guys, let's dig in here. First off, impressions from last week's pair of Derby preps, the Risen Star, which went to War of Will, and the Southwest 60-1 Super Steed. Bill, what was your takeaway from those races?
Two semi-shockers. We're usually run into a long shot that creeps into a mind-the-bird type situation. 62-1 was the absolute monster in that race. And the horse was Mr. What's the trainer's name that races here in the Middle Atlantic? When he comes up here, he runs a lot too. The winning trainer at 62-1 always pulls in a bunch of long shots like Dallas Stewart does in the Triple Crown. So not shocked, just penniless.
Nick, what about you?
You know, it's been a bit of a disappointing prep season so far, because Baffert has been sitting on all of his talent out in California. Will finally get a chance to see, you know, some of his horses. I think War of Will had the best performance of 2019 so far, beating 14 horses in that Risen Star the way that he did. I think he is kind of like the leader so far in terms of attention. But this, you know, this Derby situation is going to change so many times between now and May.
I think that's certainly the case. And you mentioned the Baffert runners. Bill, let's dig into Bill's Derby top 10 here. Three of the top four are, in fact, Baffert horses led by Bill's top pick here. That's Improbable. He was the winner of the Grade One Cash Call Futurity. Has not raced yet in 2019. Bill, Improbable.
Yeah, Improbable is probably has a little bit more upside in the barn than Game Winner. Bob Baffert's loaded with mucho gusto. He could hit the trifecta at the Derby again. Surprise, surprise, this guy points his whole life and career towards three-year-olds. And very successfully, and I've rode his back, sent in several times to be not penniless. This one's well-rested, Improbable, 18-1 early line. Already had a win at Churchill Downs is a big one. And Baffert's top two headed to the Rebel probably. So he's going to split them up, Improbable and Game Winner. He'll send one to the Rebel and one to the San Felipe. He'll stay at home in California. So and Baffert knows what he's doing.
It's Bob Baffert's world. We're just living in it. Nick, Bill mentioned Game Winner. That's the undefeated Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner who probably certainly was considered on January 1st the Derby favorite. He's another Baffert horse. What's your take on Game Winner?
He's just sitting on all of his talent, Baffert is. Last year at this time, we saw what we thought was like a very intact. Nobody got hurt. Everybody was putting out these great performances. Baffert shows up late with Justify, wins his second Triple Crown in like 3 or 4 years. I mean, it's his eye for the horse is just incredible. So if you look at Game Winner, it looks like he'll be coming out in the San Felipe. We'll know a lot more about the Baffert horses here in about 2 weeks or so. You have to contend with Baffert in the Triple Crown. He's just such a major presence there. And he's just sitting on so much talent out there in California. Can't wait to see it.
So Nick, as you are looking at the Derby field right now, obviously Baffert, he's got his battalion, he's got a ton of talented sophomores, but who are a couple that you might be looking at saying, well, if not Baffert, then who?
I think Country House had a pretty nice outing last week, even though running second to the War of Will. That'll be interesting to see what Belmont does with that horse. You have a couple of other starters. You know, while the Risen Star had a bunch of horses with a bunch of starts in it, there's a lot of lightly raced horses. You have horses like Hidden Scroll, who won 14 lengths in his first start. You know, Belmont's hard-spun horse. You have a horse like Instagram, who's won by 10 and only 2 starts, 10 each time in 2 starts. So this field being assembled for the spring classic here is it's going to be lightly raced. I think there'll be a lot of change. There'll be a lot of horses moving up and back almost week to week.
Well, certainly, and you mentioned Hidden Scroll, who was a Bill Mott trainee, and you mentioned Instagram. And certainly with some of these horses, you as you say, you're going to see a lot of different things, and some of them will move forward in impressive ways and others really won't. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Bill, one of the horses I noted on your top 10 is a Virginia bred. That's Soldado.
Yeah, Hidden Scroll and Soldado are my two future bets so far. I've made $5 on each Hidden Scroll, 40-1. And Soldado had to make it in Vegas because he didn't even make the future pools because he hasn't run yet except for an allowance race. 125-1 on him I got right now. And the Virginia bred, but trained by Todd Pletcher, and you know he's the winningest trainer there is that doesn't win the Triple Crown. He won a Gulfstream allowance the same day as the Holy Bull. A 91 buyer figure was higher than Harvey Wallbanger and his drinks in the Holy Bull Stakes. This horse ran 4 points higher on that day, and he says Verazino and more than ready in the bloodline. And we saw Bodemeister come out of Virginia in 2012 and almost steal the Kentucky Derby. This one has a tremendous upside. He came out and sold for $80,000. Then nobody thought much of him, so he got bought at $8,000. Would be a one heck of a story for the return of Virginia racing to have a Virginia bred at least make the Derby.
It would be, although it is worth noting, of course, that Virginia has continued to produce really good horses up to this day. So there's certainly nothing surprising about seeing a good Virginia bred, although getting on the Derby trail is always a trick. Now, nobody, Bill, you didn't mention in your top 10 Super Steed. He was the 62-1 winner for Larry Jones in the Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn Park. Why no love for the long shot?
Just thought the speed meant that track was up a little bit, and I just think he's not in my top 20 yet, but he definitely impressed me, and just don't like his pedigree, and for some reason that Johnson guy's a great long shot player, but he never makes the Triple Crown. So I'm gonna let you have that horse all by yourself.
I can have it all by myself. What about you, Nick? Any interest?
You know, the Derby races up to this point, they've been a little bit marred. I think the Risen Star was one of the cleanest races where you could see a lot of the talent, you know, actually perform. Other races, you've either had incidents or they were run on the slop or something like that. A couple of horses maybe to watch. Kathleen O'Connell, a trainer we know very well from Colonial Downs, has well defined, who will be making his next start in the Tampa Bay Derby. Boldar ran in that Monday race, is a Virginia bred that, I'm not sure we've heard the last of that horse, who ran in the Southwest, even though ran a disappointing six, just kind of had trouble getting out of the gate there. And we got Michael Trembetta that has Win, Win, Win. I mean, what a name for a horse. I like to bet on Win, Win, Win. But the seven-length winner at Tampa Bay last time out, that trainer we know well from Colonial Downs is so there's still some local interest that may not be in the state bred, but it's going to be fun to watch here over the next couple of weeks.
It certainly is going to be fun to watch over the next few weeks, and we're going to have to leave it there for today. Nick Hahn, Derby Bill, thanks for joining us here on Off to the Races. We always appreciate you guys taking a little bit of time with us.
All right, get ready for the Sunland Derby on Sunday. Don't forget about that one. There could be a horse come out of that and makes the Derby.
All right, that sounds good. Want to close things up here? Don't forget to go to virginiahorseracing.com to learn more about their Road to the Derby handicapping contest and theracingbiz.com for today's free contest featuring racing from Laurel Park. Thank you to Matt Josephs behind the glass for producing us here on Off to the Races. Thanks to Nick Hahn, Derby Bill, Michael Campbell, and Bill Boniface for joining us. Thanks, as always, to you, our listeners. Keep up with us and racing all week long on theracingbiz.com. You can tune in next week, same time, 10 o'clock a.m. to hear the independent voice from Mid-Atlantic Racing and Breeding. My name is Frank Vespi. This has been Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio.
WXGI Richmond, WTPS Petersburg, 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
Star freshman Zion Williamson will not play against Syracuse tonight because of a knee injury. He, of course, was hurt when his sneaker ripped apart and lost to North Carolina on Wednesday night. The Blue Devils will certainly miss Williamson, who is averaging nearly 22 points and 9 rebounds per game this season, against that orange zone defense, explains ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg.
It's a great job probing the middle of the zone. When he catches it, he can make a play, finish. And then when he catches on a wing, he's good enough off the bounce to attack gaps, get to the rim, and finish. The most important thing when you play against this Duke zone is you can't settle to shoot the three. You've got to move the ball. You've got to get the ball in the middle of the zone. You've got to look to attack gaps and make plays. For Duke to be successful today, they can't get seduced into shooting a three.
Jim Boeheim will coach Syracuse in his team's first game since he struck